The K-Rock Football Pre-Game Interview.
St. Joseph's and Colac to kick off season 2022, GFL style, and of course, fueled by Epco Cafe 24/7. Thanks to the Anderson family for their support of K-Rock Football in 2022. Tom King, Jason Doherty, Matt Kershaw, Chris Nichols to bring you all the action. We're in Footy Spotlight thanks to Rex Grell Geelong. You'll find them, of course, on Fine Street, South Geelong, and they provide an outstanding motoring experience. The cars in the King Garage, both, of course, from Rex Grell, and of course, Rex Grell Fords, which just go hand in hand.
Well, yes, Mrs. Doherty's got a very nice Rex Grell in the garage at the moment that we got just before Christmas. So thanks to Rex and the boys down there.
Do a wonderful job.
Starts with V, ends in Olvo. And I didn't buy it, so there you go.
That's from one of Sweden's finest.
No, one of Sweden's finest.
A tissue box on the back ledge.
Yeah, oh,
and a little hat
crochet
and
blanket.
Stop it.
And drives at 50 kilometres in 100 zone on a Sunday.
Get out of the right hand lane, will you? Tell
her. Yeah, I knew I shouldn't have said that. As soon as I started that, I shouldn't have said that.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Doherty.
Oh, jeez.
Great to have in the K-Rock box for the first time. He's had a lot of media experience over the journey, whether it's been updating on different crimes around the place as a detective, whether it's been as mayor of the city of Greater Geelong or his tenure as council, which he still is, but now he's in the hottest of seats. I tell you what, if it's warm being a councillor, it's hot being a local sporting administrator, and he's now the RGM of AFL Barham. Bruce Harwood's good enough to join us on K-Rock Footy. Hello, Bruce.
Afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for having us down here.
Firstly, let's just get the elephant out of the room, out of the way. You've had an interesting tete-a-tete with North Shore over netball this week. Can you just give us AFL Barham's perspective on the situation from this week?
Yeah, look, I think in fairness, all pre-seasons have a lot going on. The North Shore issue, look, I don't want to throw any more fuel on the fire, but at this stage, as far as AFL Barham's concerned, it's done and dusted. We're moving on. But as I constantly say, our support remains for the club with their netball program, and we'll continue to work with that and see what options are available, and what is best for the club overall to getting that netball team back, or teams back together, and where they can play and enjoy it.
Just to clarify one thing, if they were to have played in the senior competition on a Saturday afternoon, did they have to field from the top down, or were you comfortable with them putting in teams in lower grades as they did last year in A grade?
The option was on the table to play an E-grade team again, but our policy is to play top-down. And a number of other clubs in the GFL and the BFL as such many have expressed about options of where certain teams might play if a team's not available, but we say top-down.
Okay, let's talk footy. Talk to us about the role you've now been in for the best part of 6 months. It was a very cloak and dagger. I remember running into you at a local establishment and saying, I've heard a rumour, and you've gone, can you keep your mouth shut for a couple of days? And
that was a big ask for you too, Tom.
Yes, I would have thought so. But what attracted you to the role? Why after a life of public service, whether it be in the force or in local government, turn your hand to sports administration?
More for me. Look, I come from a footy and netball background all my life. Love the local footy and that. And I've got kids still playing netball and been heavily involved. And look, an opportunity came along. I put my hand up and here I am. And I am genuinely enjoying it. All the, the good, the bad and the indifferent. But that goes with the territory.
Council meeting or a commission meeting, which one's worse?
Which one is worse? Well, on any given day, they're equal.
I thought you might say that. They have their own things.
It's hard to differentiate there, Jason.
And are you, like, so in the are you Matt's boss, or what? How does it, Kirsch's boss? How does that work?
I'm long gone.
You're long gone? You're out of it
for a while.
You've taken over, is that what it is?
Big shoes to fill.
Probably, a couple of the burning issues always. So last year we spoke to Craig Keating about the finals and about the grand final. GMHBA is, three quarters full at the moment because of the end. What's the likelihood of, GFL playing finals there and or the grand final, or is it West? Has there been a determination just yet?
Certainly no determinations. And as I said, very early days, as far as I'm concerned at the moment, I've got 22 options for the GFL and BFL grand finals, where finals in general can be played. And I'm quite serious about that. I think there are some fantastic grounds out there.
Shouldn't it be 23 with GMHBA? Do you tack that onto the 22 clubs?
I've actually
Have you ruled somebody out?
I've ruled one of them out.
St Albans is probably ruled out because of GDFL.
Well, there's that.
All right, so there's another one as well, because he's ruled one other out as well.
Now, look, I'll be very blunt here. GMHBA Stadium, becoming one of the greatest regional stadiums, if not the best regional stadium in Australia, is it best for local footy finals? And the feedback I've taken, the guys love playing on the ground, but from an atmosphere and the spectators, it just doesn't cut it. and it's really tough for those that are running the bars and the canteens, etc., in the background. They can't see what's going on. So there's a lot of pros and cons, and one, it is expensive to play there.
Yep.
It's a big cost, and that cost is always pushed down to the clubs.
So the health of the competition, how have you seen that? Like, obviously we're coming out of 2 years of COVID. Let's pray for a full season of footy. Like,
yeah.
In terms of the clubs and their, I suppose it's not so much also the playing group, but, you know, in terms of their supporters and their volunteers, have you seen, or have you got feedback from that they're already really ready to go and looking forward to it?
Yeah, look, there's certainly a buzz around today in particular. I've been to a couple of grounds already, and there is a genuine buzz about the day and people getting back to playing footy and netball and everything that goes with that. But there has been a definite drop-off in volunteers overall. That's across the board. And there has been a drop-off in some of the junior participation, and that's been across the board, not just the GFL and the BFL, but also the GDFL. So they're things we're watching closely, why some areas have dropped off. Look, it's well documented, the under 18, under 19 sort of comps, there's always a loss of young people around that age group. We know that. But we're watching it closely as to how it's sort of transpiring in those numbers. And sorry, I should also mention in particular the umpires.
Yep.
You know, no umpire, no game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's a real tough one. We've campaigned very hard in recent months about zero tolerance to umpire abuse, and we'll push that all year. But, you know, the umpires, you know, it's one thing to give them a hard time. It's another thing to actually go and get the whistle yourself and have a crack at it.
Yep. We're speaking with AFL Barwon Region General Manager Bruce Harwood on K-Rock Football. Here's Matty Kershaw.
You mentioned, Bruce, and I was going to ask the question about the drop-off participation with the juniors. We see it a fair bit. I coach one of the junior teams here, or the under-18s, and I've noticed a fair drop-off with participation with the within the club here. I don't think it has any relevance to do with the changing of the grades either. Do you think that it's...
I think you're right, but I don't think it does.
Yeah.
No.
I think that, you know, you had an influx of players coming up from the under-19s last year to the senior level. Notice out here we're short in the reserves here, so it's sort of, I think it's all over the board, just from a senior group to right down to juniors. So I think it's just that COVID effect that has taken effect. I don't think it has anything to do with any changing of grades or anything like that. It's just the situation we find ourselves in.
No, I definitely agree with that, and I think at one stage we looked at the number of young players coming through from the under-19s and the seniors, and we thought, gee, there's a lot coming through, over 750-odd kids coming through, so then we started to have a discussion about a potential third team.
Yep.
And there was a lot of interest early, but we just didn't see the numbers coming through to correlate to that idea, so that's parked and probably, you know, won't get up in time, but it was a good discussion to have, but you're right, the kids just haven't come through.
Yep.
Restructure, it's something that's been on the agenda for 6 or 7 years. It bubbled along really about 5 or 6 years ago under Lee Hartman. You've brought it up. Is it back on the agenda, and is it back on the agenda with a real gusto to look at where the future of football and netball lies in this region?
The short answer is yes, insofar as you know, the restructure or the promotion relegation, whatever you want to call it. First and foremost, it's not a, you know, win a flag, go up, finish on the bottom, go down. That's long gone. That discussion. But what we want to do is put options on the table for clubs in the GF and the BF as such. And I've had a good discussion with the GDFL hierarchy about what a three-tiered competition might look like. At this stage, the GDFL are not interested. But in the GFNL and the BFNL, there is discussion there about what a promotion relegation system might look like. There are certainly teams interested in the discussion, and it is about giving them options about aspiring to a higher level or looking at where their club is currently sitting and how they're travelling. So it's a very open and transparent discussion at the moment,
yeah.
And will remain so.
So just on that then, Bruce, if it's not going to be grand finalist or premiers and, you know, you finish bottom each year, what are you able to give some insight as to what that would look like? Because usually, generally, you know, relegation promotions, you win it, you go up, you lose, you go down.
Yep.
You stated then that it might not necessarily be that. Like, what is another option for?
Well, I guess if we're having a really honest conversation about the competition, and we see a couple of teams up the top consistently in the comps and a couple of teams consistently down at the bottom half, how do we get better equity into the game and get players to enjoy it a bit more and a bit more opportunity to play finals and, you know, try and pinch a flag somewhere,
yep,
along the way.
Win more games of footy, yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. But and we've got the obviously the salary cap and the player points is a part of that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we, you know, bring equity or further equity into the game? So, you know, blokes have got a fair chance of a few successes during the year.
Is it also club health?
You know, like in terms of juniors, and you were talking about before, you know, juniors and volunteering and, you know, the health of the club as well, being able to match it at that level.
Yeah, exactly right, Justin. And the fact is that the club has to be healthy right through juniors, through netball, off the ground with the finances, how their club is structured, how it's run, how it operates. They're all parts of the puzzle, and some clubs are good in bits and pieces, and some clubs are better in other parts. It's a bit of a yin and yang effect sometimes.
Yep. Bruce, we've got plenty we could touch on right now, but time is short, but we will talk to you throughout the year, and I'm sure more issues will surface throughout the year that we can touch on. We really appreciate you taking the time to drop by and have a chat to us today ahead of St Joseph's and Colac, and we wish you the very best of luck in the role. It's one of the toughest gigs in Geelong, I reckon, being the head of AFL Bowen, and you've settled into the role nicely. You had a couple of curveballs thrown your way, but you've been able to get some bat on them and get them down the first base line and get to first base. So that's a good start.
Tom, I really appreciate it. And look, at the end of the day, we're here to be available. We've got a role to play in, you know, helping administer the game. And if there's things to be spoken about or be discussed, happy to do that. And I think it's good to know the punters out there know that you can keep a secret, mate.
Good to see you, Bruce, and we look forward to seeing you throughout the year.
Thanks, Thomas.
Bruce,
thanks,
Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce.
The K-Rock Football Pre-Game Interview.